Our next speaker is Dr. Zaman, who is with the, Dr. Singh, who is the Senior Program Director with the International Health Division of ABT Associates in New Delhi, India. Dr. Singh.
Good afternoon, everybody. Quick clarification, I'm not a doctor, basically a distribution expert. I'm here to talk to you about establishing a commercially viable distribution model for oral rehydration salts. As you all know, oral rehydration salts are extremely important for the prevention and the medication for the management of diarrhea. I have no relationships to disclose. So let's begin with the program rationale. And before I do that, I'd like to talk to you about what APT does in India. APT is implementing a USAID-funded project called Market-Based Partnerships for Health. The primary objective is to engage the private sector and to test commercially viable markets for delivering public health outcomes for the BOP populations in India. What I'm presenting today is part of one of the sort of programs that we've implemented under the Market-Based Partnerships for Health. So to begin with the program rationale, now you know that diarrhea is a major problem in a developing country like India, and about 400,000 children die under the age of 5 die every year because of diarrhea and its complications. Also, under 5 mortality rate in India in rural areas is twice as high as in urban areas. So that makes it all the more important to address this issue. Just to give you a number, the national average is about 96 to 1,000. The interesting thing from a rationale perspective is that while a lot of work has been done in creating awareness for administering ORS in case of diarrhea, it's as high as about 70%. But administering it is really low. So if children get diarrhea, only about 23% of them actually administered diarrhea or ORS if they get diarrhea. So there's a huge gap between awareness as well as its actual administration. The public sector, there's huge gaps again in the supply of essential medicines in rural areas especially. And there's obviously inadequate focus on rural markets by the commercial sector. And I'll try and explain that to you a little later as to why the commercial sector is not really focusing on rural markets, even though it does seem a little obvious. So let's talk the objectives now. The first one's fairly obvious. We're trying to create consistent access for ORS during high incident months. The high incident months in India are usually towards the monsoon seasons, which is from April to July. There is a slight spurt in the winters as well in December and January. The second part, which I think merits some explanation, is that we're trying to develop a cost-effective rural supply model for ORS. Now, this requires two entities, the first entity being a manufacturer who is interested in supplying ORS to rural markets, and the second is a distribution network, a robust distribution network, which has deep inroads into rural areas and is, again, interested in taking on ORS and including that into their portfolio to supply to rural markets. And you have to be able to create this distribution network by syncing it into the existing operations of the manufacturer, because if you're not able to do that, you're not going to be able to create a commercially sustainable and a viable model. So having said that, let me explain to you what's the coverage in the time period. This is a pilot. Now, India is a huge country, so 411 villages by Indian standards is really a pilot. We worked with 187 entrepreneurs in 3 districts in northern India in a state called Uttar Pradesh. And it's really an implementation time period of 1 season, which is from April to July 2011. All right, so remember I was explaining to you about these two entities, the first entity being the distribution network that you want to leverage to creating access for ORS. And that is India's largest fast-moving consumer goods. You know them as Unilevers. So in India, they're called as Hindustan Unilevers. So we partnered with them. It's a non-health network of rural retailers. This is an internationally acclaimed various awards it has received. It's called the Shakti Network. Essentially, these are women who have small outlets in villages. They essentially sell Hindustan Lever products, and they are called Shakti Ammas. Shakti means strength, and Ammas mean women, senior women. The second one, and this network is huge. I mean, as you can see, it's about 100,000 villages. Over 3 million households are covered in 15 states. So it has a massive coverage and a massive potential to be able to creating access for ORS across the country. It's female-centric, and it's able to create both awareness as well as able to sort of generate sales. So from a child health issue perspective, you know, this is a relevant network that you want to be able to tap into and leverage. Now, on the one hand, while you have a huge and a very large fast-moving consumer goods company, the manufacturer, the profile of the manufacturer will have to be a little different, you know, because we are talking about a company called Pharmasynth, who is our manufacturing partner. This is a small-scale pharmaceutical company which also manufactures ORS in addition to various other products. The backbone of its distribution are medical representatives, like it would be in the case of any other pharmaceutical company. What's typical is that it works in district and small-level towns. Now, a large pharmaceutical company would focus itself on large towns, metropolitan areas, because that's where the population is and that's where they're able to generate demand for their kind of products. But for a company like Pharmasynth, they focus specifically as a business strategy in small towns. And that's a huge advantage for us, and I'll speak about that a little later as to why that is. So they have distribution networks, stockists at the district level, and ORS is an important product for them. It contributes about 15% of their total revenue. We cover three states, which is a large area. You know, 78 sales representatives in 95 districts across three states in northern India. And I think what's really important is that they have a strategic interest in entering rural markets. So for a pharmaceutical company, that's very important, that you want to get into rural markets and you want to make sure that doing so is a viable business option for you. So if you've understood these two partners, the distribution model looks really simple. You know, what you have is a distribution network of Hindustan Levers, which is these Shakti Ammas that I was talking to you about. And then you have the manufacturing company, which is a three-tier distribution network. This is a traditional three-tier distribution network, which has super stockists at the top level, which you see on the left of the screen. And then you have district-level stockists, and you have block-level retailers. What we've done is superimposed this network with the retail Shakti network of HUL. So we've really created a synergy such that you have the network that is there for the manufacturer, and then you are able to sort of superimpose the network of HUL and create a win-win situation such that, you know, you're really able to leverage this network for a very important life-saving product for the management of diarrhea. So let me explain to you, and this is, while, you know, it does sound simple that, you know, you have a large manufacturing, or you have a manufacturing company, you have a very robust distribution network, but how do you sort of mix these two? How do you get them to work together? One's a really big company and the other's a really small pharmaceutical company. But they come on board with their own strengths, and that's what we were able to sort of get together. So what we did is we said, look, if Pharmasynth, the manufacturer, and their medical representatives are traveling between two towns, we mapped that area and we said if there's Shakti entrepreneurs within a 10-kilometer radius of these two towns, we would essentially have the medical representatives use their excess capacity and start going to these villages as well. So simple steps. The first step is to sort of map it out within a 10-kilometer radius, identify where the Shakti entrepreneurs are, identify these two towns, and then work out, so you have got the selection in place, and then you sort of revise the route plan. So you revise the beat plan for the medical representative such that when he's moving from town A to town B, and if there's an X number of entrepreneurs in the middle, he will divert from that main road and within a 10-kilometer radius go to the Shakti Ammas and actually supply the ORS physically. All right, so how is this? While this makes sense for Hindustan Levers because their sort of intervention or their effort to intervention to a partnership such as this is very low. All they have to do is provide the list of their entrepreneurs. to the medical representatives of PharmaCent. But for PharmaCent, there's a significant change in what their systems or the current systems are. They operate through a typical three-tier distribution network, which I was explaining to you earlier, a stockist, a retailer, and a distributor. And what's central to their distribution network is the medical representative. But what they don't do is physically handle goods, because all of this is done through their distributors. So, you know, the medical representative only takes orders, but does not supply these products himself to the retailer. So that's a significant change in as far as PharmaCent is concerned. Now, because you're talking about a market which is so different and has not been tapped earlier, you know, bank instruments is how traditional distribution networks work. But in this case, you know, an entrepreneur at a village level does not really have a bank account. So how do you sort of manage that? And that needed to be addressed. And hence, we came up with what we call as a mobile tracking system. This might look a little complicated, but fairly simple. Now, there's really two transactions that are happening here. The first transaction is the medical representative gets a list in the morning of which Shakti entrepreneurs the products to be supplied to. He picks up that stock from the retailer and goes along that route and does the actual supply of the products. Transaction one happens when the distributor actually gives away the stock to the medical representative. An SMS is sent to the server saying that X amount of stock has been sent out to the medical representative. The medical representative in hand then goes visiting each of these Shakti entrepreneurs and delivers the product physically and takes the cash. So when a Shakti entrepreneur receives the stock, she sends out SMS to the server again. And by the end of the day, you know, these transactions are all sort of consolidated. And if transaction one and transaction two match, it's fine. If it doesn't, if there's a 20% variation, then an SMS or a warning SMS sort of goes out to the area manager of the company. Now, that takes care of the discomfort that a small pharmaceutical company would have in managing stocks physically and collecting cash. Quick outcomes, we were able to cover, like I said, 415 villages. This is how this increased. What you would see in red is the primary number of villages. A Shakti entrepreneur covers 2.2 villages as per HUL data, which is our satellite villages, and hence we sort of extrapolated to that. This is how the profit and revenue generation happened. But what you see here is the sales that happened per entrepreneur on a monthly basis. And she was able to make 121 rupees per month, about 500 rupees in the season. Don't forget that she earns 1,500 rupees per month from her HUL operations. So this is a significant contribution to her total income. From a financial sustainability analysis perspective, we basically looked at three costs, and we're talking about the manufacturer's costs here. We look at the servicing costs, which is the time of the rep and such, the demand creation costs, which is meetings and things like that, and the cost of goods sold. And in our analysis, it is a commercially viable operation for HUL as well as PharmaCent. Both gross and net profiting, net profits are positive. It's about 38% at gross level and 8% at net level. Now, quick conclusions. Now, like I was telling you earlier, that for a pharmaceutical company which is mid-sized or small and is already working in small towns, tier 3 and tier 4 towns as they're called in India, for them to move to a rural market is fairly simple because it's only one level down. As again, compare this to a Pfizer, which works in large cities. For them, it doesn't make any sense at all to move into rural areas, given the products that they have and given the difficulty of working in rural markets. But for a mid-sized company, it does make a lot of sense. We've been able to prove that. The important caveat is that you should be able to take care of discovery costs, and that discovery cost is taken care of because you're working with a partner that already has a network, such as HUL. A lot of hindrances that small-sized pharmaceutical companies have towards working in such markets is a reflection of the market potential, or maybe the lack of it. So if you're able to put into monitoring systems like the mobile tracking system, you know, the whole perception changes for the mid-sized company. And we were able to see that successfully in the case of PharmaCent. Thank you.